Aileen Bowles is currently serving as president of the Lansing City Council. It's her third tenure as president, and it's her seventh year on the council. The Lansing native and University of Michigan alum represents the city's third ward, which covers its southwest part. Lately, the city council has been more involved in changes at the city-owned Board of Water and Light. On Friday, Aileen Bowles joined us to talk about those changes and other city issues. I first asked her how she feels about a proposal to expand the BWL Board of Commissioners by three. That's an issue voters could approve in November.
I think it's absolutely prudent and appropriate to do it this time. We certainly want to have the voters weigh in on the representation that we have throughout the region, and we want to be good neighbors. Obviously, there are ratepayers that are outside of the city of Lansing, and they would like a voice and a seat at the table. Maybe not a vote, but certainly a voice, and we'd like to know what the citizens of Lansing think should happen with that.
The other component here is to delegate Mayor Bernero greater authority during emergencies involving the utility. What do you make of that move?
I think that we've got to have some very specific focal point and person at the helm. And in this case, the first crack at this is to recommend that Mayor Bernero is that person, or the mayor that is seated in Lansing is that person, to be able to rally everyone together, put the conversations on the table that need to happen, to make the crucial and critical decisions that need to be made in those times of crises. Take someone specifically having the buck stopping with them. And I think that that gives the opportunity to do just that.
These moves would require amending the city charter. Is that problematic for any reason?
Not on this. It's very specific. The language was vetted and reviewed by our law team. And going forward, it will allow for future review of how it's working. And I think that's extremely important. I don't think you make a decision that then lasts into infinity and beyond. I think it's extremely important to have a regular revisit of how we are functioning and able to process the work and the responsibilities that any particular entity has.
The BWL board has just announced David Price will be its new chairman. What do you make of the change at the top of the board governing the BWL?
I think they have regular change, and it is certainly good. I have had a chance to have several conversations with Chairman Price, and his vision for transparency and communication and accountability, I think, is perfect for the day and hour that we are in. So I think having some fresh eyes, fresh legs in the seat as chairman will allow some forward movement on the behalf of the board. And I think that's good. It's great to have that type of forward movement.
The Lansing State Journal reported that the BWL board violated state law a few months back by discussing a raise and a contract extension for General Manager Peter Lark only through emails and phone calls and not in public meetings. Do you agree? Did they violate state law when they did that?
The Open Meetings Act is very clear on the publishing of meetings and the ability for the public to be able to address those that represent them. And I think that's extremely important to follow. And I think in this instance, it did not allow for the public input that is necessary in such a major decision that is being made or considered.
Do you think they broke state law then?
I think it did not comport absolutely with the Open Meetings Act. Certainly, we have taken a number of classes through MML as a council that talks about the Open Meeting Act and us even deliberating while in a meeting via email or Facebook. And so that's been under scrutinization for a long time. And I do think that when you do not allow the public and the greater larger audience to participate and observe even the deliberation process, then you are in violation.
Aileen Bowles is our guest. She's president of the Lansing City Council here on Current State. Going a bit further back, there were also calls for Peter Lark's resignation after the botched response to the ice storm. For the record, were you one of those people?
I was certainly one of the people that said it would be very, very difficult for him to repair the damage that was done and rebuild the trust, seeing that he was at the helm when the trust was broken. I think it's difficult for the person that made the decisions that were so detrimental to so many people to fix that. And
but did you call for his resignation?
I didn't. I was not in a position to call for his resignation. I said that I thought it would be very, very difficult.
You could have called for his resignation.
Not as president of city council, as far as having any type of authority over Peter Lark. That wouldn't have effectuated. It would have come from his board. So as far as my position, it has always been it would be very, very difficult for him to repair the relationships that have been so sorely severed and the trust of the public. And he is seen as the face of the problem. I say even to this day, that is going to be a very, very difficult hill to climb.
Some say the board had become far too deferential to the utilities management. Do you agree with that?
I think there had been some of that. And I do believe that the board had a real wake-up call with the intense outcry from its rate users and the general public around the greater Lansing area. So I think it was certainly a wake-up call for the board.
Last week, the city council held one of its quarterly joint meetings with the BWL board. What came out of that meeting?
We were able to discuss some solutions to tree trimming, which has become a point of contention for a number of neighbors. The company that is being used, the lack of labor representation through that company, the fact that the company is housed or located outside of Lansing, although we're told that they employ Lansing workers, was a large part of the discussion. Also, there being a call for us to have the Right Tree Service, who handles the tree cutting for the Board of Water and Light as a contract organization or company, to come in and meet with council and hear some of our concerns directly. We shared pictures and stories and examples with the staff members that were present at the meeting about some of the poor customer service that was being exhibited by the company. We also talked about rate increases and the upcoming September meeting that will discuss rate increases, possible rate increases. And
what do you expect to come of that?
Well, council's concerns were, have you filled in the gap and taken this opportunity to rebuild the trust that is sorely lacking at this time of BWL? And giving some examples of how that could possibly happen, how we can get the information out that they, in fact, received 168 recommendations between their own review, the CRT review, and other entities weighing in on what needed to change within the Board of Water and Light. And the fact that they have addressed 100 of those 168, and that some of those 68 are going to be ongoing long-term review and adjust and readjust types of fixes. That hasn't been touted. No one has explained that we heard you, we are moving forward as we thought, efficiently and effectively. So we talked a lot about, before you ever have the conversation or discussion as a board about a rate increase, you would want to rebuild that trust and fill the gap that exists right now between what happened and moving forward. And the storm of December 2013, many people are still stuck back there at the storm and its consequences and all of the aftermath of that storm. They are still literally there and reliving it and paying the bills from it and still picking up debris from it. And so to move them from that to, you need a rate increase, albeit if it's warranted with the list of reasons of why you need a rate increase, there is a massive gap that needs to be filled, and this is the perfect opportunity, as our vice president indicated, to rebuild that trust, and that needs to happen before you ask for a rate increase, we felt.
Would the utility be seriously hampered without the rate increase?
that was a part of what we asked. One of the, my colleagues, Councilmember Wood, actually asked, have you already passed a budget with a rate increase included? And the answer was yes. For us, that was very, very disheartening. And it said to, I think, any resident and any rate user that they have already made the decision and that it doesn't matter what input they give at this upcoming public hearing, that they're going to move forward with a rate increase. And we also indicated heavily to the board and its representatives that that was a misstep. And that is what also creates a further mistrust. And so that was a large portion of our discussion. And we think they heard us. We think that
can
there
will
be.
Can you do anything about that now? Can the council do anything about that now?
Council cannot. That is in their board's hands. And we, one of the reasons we had such an extensive discussion. But what can happen and what we called their board to task on, and I believe that they heard us and that they are going to take it to heart, that they would take pause and actually have the conversations one-on-one with the individual residents that they represent and ask them to weigh in as they consider and do their due diligence and deliberation to make their vote on if, in fact, they're going to vote to have a rate increase.
And a public hearing is still scheduled?
Correct.
What would you expect to come of that public hearing?
I would hope.
This sounds like the cart before the horse here. The public hearing trails the decision to increase the rates.
Yeah, the public hearing trails the actual budget cycle that said we included this in our budget. The budget would, as I understand it, would be affected if the rate increase did not go into place, the amount of return that they would receive. So they'd still be able to function. They'd still be able to move forward. It would just close the margin and close the gap between the amount that they saw as an increase to the budget or to their bottom line and their amount that was not there. So,
but I want to make sure I understand here. The public hearing that is still scheduled to take place is over a proposed rate increase.
Correct.
That is already baked in the cake.
It's already baked into the budget, correct.
Yeah. Aileen Bowles is our guest, president of the Lansing City Council. I have to ask you about a City Pulse report here just a few days ago concerning a host of serious problems at South Washington Park, a 248-unit low-income housing development managed by the Lansing Housing Coalition. Violence, guns, drugs, bed bugs, according to the story. It goes on at some length. You represent that ward. You told the paper that you were told, quote, we were moving in the right direction. I've gotten no calls from residents there that I know of, unquote. Have you learned anything more about the conditions at South Washington Park?
I was able to certainly have a conversation via email with the director of the Lansing Housing Coalition and ask again what happened to the funding that we had in place for security, and was told that that funding was removed and that in its place cameras have been put up and that cameras are being used to monitor the safety in the building. Was also then told that we have a community policing officer or police officer that is assigned to the building that they are working with. They are aware of some of the concerns as far as safety goes and propping doors open and individuals that are in the building that, in fact, may not belong in that building. And they are working on that. We have had a cyclical process with this particular location. We have ebbs and flows where we have greater concerns, and then those are addressed. They seem to calm down. Individuals that are creating mayhem or difficulty within the building are removed from the building and or are barred from coming to the building, and it quiets for a bit, and then we have an uptick again. We have some reoccurring issues, and getting to the bottom of those and having a permanent resolve to them has been problematic, to be quite honest.
What's your plan?
My plan has been to go over, walk the building, have some conversations and with the residents, which typically I think some of the residents who were accustomed to contacting my office when we dealt with some of the issues previously are no longer in the building. So I think some of the individuals that are frightened, that don't feel comfortable, that have concerns, have not learned that they have some other resources. And so I'm going to go and make sure that they are aware that they can contact my office, that we give them the name of the community policing officer, and just open the doors for communication and for them to feel like they have an outlet for someone to be able to be of assistance. I also plan, as I have, to stay in direct contact with the exec director of
the Lansing Housing Coalition.
Yep, the Housing Coalition.
Have they dropped the ball here, Aylin?
I don't think they've dropped the ball. I think that they have very steadily worked at the problems, and the problems have morphed from one heavy area of bed bugs to another of individuals who shouldn't be living there, that are living there, that aren't on the lease, that should be on the lease, to getting that round of people out. And then individuals living in the location not being willing to cooperate either and identify the individuals that are in the site that should not be. And it's an ongoing problem, and they've got their hands full. I will say that. Can they certainly do more? Can we put our heads together and find other ways to try and address some of these reoccurring issues? Of course we can.
Are the resources necessary to deal with this in place?
Absolutely not. That's a part of the difficulty. We move from having a security officer and having the funding for a security officer that then was removed because HUD said you can't have that. And then you are now scrambling, which I believe has caused the resurgence and the uptick in some of these problems. You're having a scramble to put other safety measures in place. And that's the place where we are right now. And I believe it'll happen. And I think it's just going to take some additional time and work to make sure that we make that particular site safe and a quality living experience for those that are there.
Aylin Bowles, our guest on Current State, president of the Lansing City Council. The social justice organization Action of Greater Lansing has issued a call to formally welcome young Central Americans to Lansing. They put a proposal before the council to ratify this formality, more or less. But there were hostile protests and counter-protests in Lansing about 3 weeks ago over immigration. If some of the young Central Americans were to come here, would you be concerned about resistance to that?
I would not. I think we have a welcoming, loving, family-oriented community with generations of families here in Lansing. And I think what's important at this point is to educate those individuals that were concerned and had such intense opposition to them even having the option to come to Lansing. I think there needs to be some sensitivity and training with those individuals. I think there needs to be some conversations and education of those individuals that are so adamant about their opposition to these individuals being offered harbor here in Lansing during a very, very difficult and tumultuous time for them. So I think the love and support in the city of Lansing far outweighs the individuals that have expressed their desire not to have them come. I think the love and those that want them here or want to offer our city as a welcoming environment far outweighs that.
Aylin Bowles is president of the Lansing City Council. She represents the city's third ward, which covers the southwest part of the city. Aylin, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.